themselves and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe we need to understand and grapple with and grasp the truth, and that is the danger of private interpretation of the scripture, especially the eschatological, biblical, theological, doctrinal truth about the end times. That's what we normally call it, the end times. But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the end times, we need to look at the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church, then the 7 years of tribulation. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you believe this. Let me ask you, call in, tell me your position. Do you believe that the church, the Christians, will go through the tribulation? I'm going to pause for a moment for you to ponder that. Why do you believe that? Where do you get that from? Who have you listened to that's the pastor, preacher, theologian, academic-minded person that you think that is trustworthy and you believe that is factual? Have you searched the scriptures for yourself to determine what God's word says? Dr. Davis, we need to express to our listeners, what is the tribulation for? The word is thalipsis. It is pressure, problems, difficulties, trials, etc., etc., etc. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear that the wrath of God, the tribulation is the time that God's pouring out his wrath, his thumos, white-hot anger, on a Christ-rejecting, God-hating, Bible-denying society. And the wrath of God will never be poured out on the child of God. Dr. Davis, that's important for people to understand. God's wrath was poured out on his son on the cross for your sins and for mine. The wrath is God's anger against a God-hating society, a Christian-hating society. God doesn't hate the Christian. He doesn't have his wrath to be poured out on a Christian. That's already been, God's wrath has been mitigated on the cross through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I can say to every listener that is tuned in at this very moment, you, I, if we're saved, will never experience one day of the rapture. Revelation chapter 3 verse 10 says that we are kept out from, it's the little Greek word ek, out from the rapture, the tribulation to come, the wrath to come. It is God's wrath, and we'll be kept out from that if we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. It's an impossibility for God to go back on his word.
Amen.
As we look at the doctrinal arguments, ladies and gentlemen, will there be a rapture? Will there be 7 years of tribulation? And then after that, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then a thousand-year rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is biblically, theologically, doctrinally, factual, ladies and gentlemen. So for those that have the popular belief as what they're calling today, non-dispensationalist, those that say, well, oh, dispensationalism was started by Darby back in 1884, and that's brand new. No, it's not. Dispensationalism has always been biblical doctrinal truth throughout all of Scripture. The different dispensations, the different times of order, if you please, during the course of the scripture, all the way from Genesis through Revelation. Dispensationalism is a biblical, theological, doctrinal term. It is not something that is just a thought. And yet the non-dispensationalists want to challenge and chide and say that is not the case. In fact, a non-dispensationalist will say that the rapture will take place simultaneously with the return. The non-dispensationalists will say the 7 years of tribulation, that we're living in tribulation now. They reject the millennial reign. They reject the rapture of the church in a chronological order, biblically speaking. And as a result of that, you have biblical soup rather than biblical doctrinal theological truth. I'm looking at an article that says, post-tribulation rapture, the church will be raptured out after the entire tribulation period. Believers must endure the tribulation alongside the rest of the world, but are then raptured when Christ returns at his visible second coming. That's simply out of order biblically, chronologically.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, we must understand also, that's where the command in Scripture comes from, the 2 Timothy, that commands the believer to study.
Absolutely.
To show thyself approved. It's so important for us to study. Now, let's make sure we understand this. God did not need to know what he were doing. We are the ones that needed to know what God was doing.
That's right.
So, simply speaking, because of the method of study, we now have a way to put it in plain terms, in a way that we could get a grip on, a way to analyze what God was doing down through the years from Genesis, like you said, all the way to Revelation. That's an advantage for us.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that God needed to explain anything to us, because he is sovereign, he is God Almighty, and he sits in absolute authority. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to explain anything to us, but he loves us so much to where he made it to where we could now
wants us to see what's happening,
study and break it down so that we could understand what's
going
on.
Dr. Davis, I'm glad you brought that up, because in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21, I call them the eschatological prophetic text of what the future holds. And that's what God is doing. It is the future tense. And so if you take what God is saying about the events that shall take place in the future, and you say that we're going through the tribulation now, that skips over all of the need for the recognition of the signs, symbols, and benchmarks that God gives us to know what he's doing.
Amen.
And know the time frame. God sets up the eschatological prophetic text for us to understand what God is saying shall take place, and then the end shall come, according to Matthew chapter 24, verses 14, 15, and 16. But we see all of the things that God gives us about the earthquakes and about the floods and about the wars and rumors of wars, et cetera, et cetera. We cut all of that out and the need to understand prophetic signs if we say that we're living in the days of the tribulation now.
And then we need to take the rocket science out of it, Dr. Youngblood, because I've had some to tell me also, like they said about the word rapture, that the word dispensation doesn't appear in the Bible. No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. You're right. You're 100% right. Mm-hmm. But you need to understand, we needed terminology in order for us to understand what were happening in those time periods. Mm-hmm. And I love it because Dr. Dorothy, you know, teaches the dispensations, and she put it in such great order until even a wayfarer and a fool don't have a reason to err. She did that in such an excellent way in that class. So, you know, I have to challenge believers on today, based upon that, to find someone that knows and that have studied terminology so that you could get a grip on what God is doing. And when you read the scriptures, everything will fall in order, because he is a God of order. He never does anything out of order. Even the Apostle Paul said, let everything be done decent and in order. Mm-hmm. So that's the way we need to do it in order to get a grip on what God is doing for us today.
Absolutely. And we talked about dispensation. And by the way, I go back and just put a little footnote to what you had said. Dispensation of the fullness of time. In fact, we can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me.
All right.
What
Amen.
Dispensation?
Amen. So there
and,
it is.
And several times, in fact, you find dispensation mentioned in Ephesians 3:2, Colossians 1:25, and 1 Corinthians 9:17, where the Apostle Paul talks about the dispensation. That is simply talking about a stewardship period of time.
Amen.
Right now, we're living in the dispensation of Donna Deegan as mayor of Jacksonville, Florida.
Amen.
That is
Amen.
The particular time frame, and that's what the scripture talks about with that. And if we want to eliminate the thought of dispensationalism, then we're going to eliminate the day of the age of grace, the age of God's law, etc., etc. In fact, many hold to five dispensations, some say seven. And when I teach dispensationalism, I break it down as a hyper dispensationalist. They're the nine different dispensations, and we don't have time to go through that at this point. But dispensationalism, but one of the things that, and I'll touch on this and take our next caller, but one of the things with the post-tribulation view, some call it the amillennialist view, let me just read to our listeners a summary of what I have written for that view. This view says that Christians will live in the tribulation until Jesus returns. This view says that the church is spiritual Israel, and any references to Israel in the book of Revelation are only symbolic references to the people of God. This view became popular with St. Augustine, Martin Luther, and John Calvin. And all of those, St. Augustine the saint he ain't, John Calvin simply followed all that Augustine had said. Augustine and Martin Luther. John Calvin didn't have an original thought in his mind. It was all based on what Augustine and Martin Luther said, and therefore he codified it and columnized it, if you will, in that day. But another way to express this, the view says that we're now living in the tribulation. This view rejects the rapture. This view says the rapture will be simultaneous with the return of the Lord Jesus. I'm looking at what one theologian wrote. Post-tribulational view, same as the amillennialist view. This rapture occurs at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. This is the second most popular view where Christ comes after the end of the tribulation, which means believers will have to go through all of the tribulation and be raptured just before the return of Christ. And this writer puts it so succinctly, there are many problems with this view. The most obvious one is that Jesus promised that he would keep all believers out of the tribulation to come, the wrath to come, Revelation 3:10. This promise would be broken if Jesus came after a large number of church-age believers were martyred for their faith. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll look at some scripture verses in just a moment. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, sir. That's Youngblood and Pastor Davis.
Good morning.
I tell you, I didn't believe in it, but I remember reading, I think it was like 144,000, and not just from one tribe, from every tribe of Israel, would preach the gospel to the Jewish priests.
Kenneth, you bring up a good point. If I could jump right in and say this, that's 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, according to Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 14. And during the days of the tribulation, listen, here's my point. During the days of the tribulation, 144,000 virgin male Jewish evangelists will be preaching the everlasting gospel, and mega millions will get saved. The world's greatest revival will take place during the days of the tribulation. So here's my point. If those that say that we're living in the days of the tribulation now, where are the 144,000 Jewish evangelists preaching? Where are the mega millions that are getting saved during the days of the tribulation? It is so out of context with the biblical truth that it is sad to have anyone think or say or preach or teach that.
Amen.
Kenneth, you're exactly right. And the thing that I place my faith, trust, and hope in is the authentic authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is not my place to pick and choose what the Scripture says. It's not my place to take verses out of context. It's not my place and responsibility and having the authority to say anything less, anything more than what God's Word says in context, in chronological order, and that's what we need to understand. For example, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. There are no signs for the rapture. It could happen at any moment. It could happen before I finish this broadcast. It could happen before the close of this day. But for the return of Christ, there are multiple signs that's given in Matthew 24 and 25, Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13, multitudes of signs that we need to say. I tell people we need to stop looking for signs and listen for the sound, because for the Christian, we hear the sound before we see all the signs.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Kenneth, for your call. Go ahead, yes.
Can I say one more thing? And
yes.
I'm getting off the line. Look, we got so many false preachers in our society. In
yes.
America,
yes.
Say it like that.
Yes.
And it's a shame. And they don't even know what they're doing. That's what I believe.
Well, Kenneth, you're exactly right. It's what you call kitchen theology. It's called homemade theology, cotton candy theology, goosebump theology. And when you shake them all, put them in the shaker, put them all together, it's voodoo theology. And I think it's time that we get back to the truth of the Word of God and get away from the voodoo theology, as I call it. But Kenneth, brother, thank you so much. We need to keep looking up, recognizing that the rapture could take place at any moment. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Kenneth, for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, when I look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, the Scripture says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation by through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
It is a fact that God has given us. And Dr. Davis, in Romans chapter 5, if you have that, I would turn there. Romans, the 5th chapter, to see what the Scripture says in relationship to where we'll be and what will take place in relationship to the question, will we go through the tribulation? Dr. Davis, read Romans 5, 9.
Romans 5 and 9. Mm-hmm. It says, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him."
Right.
And he's speaking to the New Testament church. Now
right.
He said, "Much more than being now." That's right now in this present day. Mm-hmm. We have been justified just as if we had never sinned. This is how God is looking at us, through the blood. It says by his blood, through his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Anytime we see that word "shall be" again, that's a promise to all the believers.
That's right.
Now, if you don't believe it like that, it won't work for you. You have to understand, we have to take it at face value. God's word means exactly what it means. The way that you read it, that's how you have to accept it in order for it to have the power to transform your life.
Right. Well, there are a number of people that are false theologians, false prophets, false teachers that's teaching false theology. One of the main ones across the country today, and it affects every mainline denomination, and that is John Calvin's lie called Calvinism today. And under Calvinism, they say that we're living in the days of the tribulation. They say that we're all going to face the tribulation. And they go back to what is found in, again, the Romans 5th text, verse 2. Let's read that. "By whom also we have access to faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience." And it's tribulation, thalupsis. It is pressure, pain, problems, difficulties. It's talking about we'll all go through pressure, pains, problems, and difficulties. And Dr. Davis, this goes back to context determines the text. Using some of the same words, but in a different setting, a different context. We understand that we're not going through the great tribulation, as it's called, but we will face tribulation in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, There is a major, major difference in what some are saying and what the Bible really teaches. I go back to Dr. Davidson. We want to talk about the real issue. The real issue is what I call the pre-tribulational view. The pre-tribulational view. Let me just read to our listeners what I have written. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, some of this I'm quoting directly from the manuscript that I hold in my hand with the title of it, The Rapture Debate Resolved. That's a book that's in its seventh iteration in the manuscript that should be in the on the bookstore shelves by September, that I've had the privilege of researching and writing and will be published. And I publish in that the different views, the pre-tribulational view, the mid-tribulational view, the post-tribulational view, and the view, only view that is biblically sound is the pre-tribulational view. And that pre-tribulational view, I say this, this view is the only proper biblical view. In this view, the church is raptured, the 7 years of tribulation on earth, which is God's wrath poured out on all the world, and then the return of Jesus to rule and reign for 1,000 years from his throne in Jerusalem, where the believers will be able to rule and reign with him. Listen, the rapture is not something that is a figment of the imagination. It is not something that is just a perhaps maybe so, as some want to put it. It is a factual fact that the rapture is taking, will take place. Now, some will argue that if their rapture is real, then it means Jesus is coming back twice, that there's two returns. Ladies and gentlemen, in the rapture of the church, Jesus comes to the in the sky. Let me just read you one of the pages out of my book that will be in print pretty soon. The rapture, Jesus appears in the clouds. The return, Jesus comes to earth visibly. The rapture, there are no signs given. The return, multitudes of signs are given in Matthew 24 and 25, Luke 21, and Mark 13. The rapture, believers are snatched up, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and following. The return, believers return with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the rapture, believers are safe from the wrath of God to be poured out upon the world. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 and Revelation 3:10 verifies that. The return, believers return in great victory with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 19, ladies and gentlemen, verse 11 through 16, we find the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he returns, we return with him. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, the scripture says when Jesus returns, all of the holy angels will return with him. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, the Bible tells us when Jesus returns, he'll return visibly, physically, and land, if you please, on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives will cleave, that is split apart. A great valley will be formed, and he will cross the Kidron Valley, enter into the Eastern Gate, be seated on his throne, and rule and reign for 1,000 years.
Amen.
And Dr. Davis, I've said many times, when we return with him, and that'd have to be millions upon millions. By the way, the scripture says we'll be riding on white horses when Jesus returns, and we return with him. When he returns, according to Matthew 25, verse 31, all of the holy angels with him. So can you picture, can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, the huge entourage of human beings, the resurrected faithful in Jesus Christ, along with all of the holy angels returning, and Jesus then will lead the clan, lead the group, lead the parade into the eastern through the Eastern Gate, which, by the way, is now closed, walled up in the the 7th century, about 637. It was walled up. A Islamic jihadist cemetery is there, and that Eastern Gate is walled up. But according to Ezekiel chapter 40, there's coming a day that wall will be taken down from that Eastern Gate, and Jesus Christ will enter into the Eastern Gate. That is the Golden Gate, as some call it, because when the sun shines on it, it has that beautiful glow of a gold look. And let me continue one of the pages out of my book. The return, believers return in great victory and glory. The rapture, believers are to listen for the trumpet sound, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and following. In the return, we're admonished to look for the signs of his second coming. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand a single individual, or a group, or a denominational group, the Calvinist idea, for example, should not take precedence over the Word of God. What St. Augustine said, what Martin Luther said, what Origen may have said, what John Calvin says, is absolutely worthless if it is going to try to rule over and change the chronology of what God's Word tells us.
Amen.
By the way, Dr. Davis has a wonderful verse in Revelation chapter 4. Read Revelation 4, verse 1.
Okay,
Revelation. It is at that point, ladies and gentlemen, in the Revelation text. And we're not living in Revelation today. We're not living in the times that's spoken of in Revelation. If so, then we're going to see this blood sun turning to blood, the moon, the sun not shining, and it'd be darkness. And I could go through all the iterations of what Revelation says will happen in the days of Revelation. We're not living in that time. It is prophetic eschatologically in the future, after the rapture of the church, when the Antichrist rules and reigns. We see that chapter 6 through chapter 18. But there's a wonderful verse in chapter 4 of Revelation, verse 1. Read that.
Dr. Amen. Davis. Says here, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard were as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter.
Absolutely.
Amen.
By the way, that is a good verse for the verification of the rapture of the church.
Amen.
From that chapter, chapter 4, verse 1, through the 18th chapter, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not mentioned. It is because the church has been raptured out of this old world. We are not on planet Earth at the time that takes place. Ladies and gentlemen, the rapture and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is often confused. And sometimes, let me say to you, there's a difficulty to determine whether the scripture is referring to the rapture or the second coming. However, in studying the end time prophecies, it is very important for us to differentiate between the two. The rapture is when Jesus Christ returns to remove all believers from this earth. The rapture is described clearly, Dr. Davis, and our listeners need to understand it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 and following. Believers who have died will have their bodies resurrected, along with the believers who are still living will be resurrected. By the way, in the rapture debate resolved in my manuscript that will be in on the bookshelves, Lord willing, in September, I discuss that very, very clearly of the rapture of the church. When Jesus Christ calls up in the clouds, and Revelation chapter 19, when Jesus Christ returns, Matthew chapter 24, verse 27 through 28, 29, points out when Jesus returns, it will be visible as the lightning shining from the east to the west, so also will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Every eye will see him.
Amen.
In the rapture of the church, only the ones that have their ears turned, tuned to the trumpet will sound and be caught up and taken out of this old world.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's important to understand chronological dispensational truth. Dr. Davis, we got about 30 seconds. Wrap us up with the thought today.
When we go to the book of Jude, we see in verses 14 and 15, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.
Absolutely.
He is coming.
He's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
The enemies of Israel have hit